Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented this, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now. For it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. When Jesus had been baptized, just as he came from the water, suddenly the skies, the heavens, were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to Christ.
Please be seated, and I'll invite the children to come up for a children's message to meet me up front here. How are you this morning? Are you good? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Real quick question. Do you guys have like show and tell at school anymore?
No.
Is that something in my generation, right? All right. Well, that blew that one. So let's move. So if you want to show somebody something, what's the best way of doing it? Do you like to do it like a surprise? You have them cover their eyes and then show it to them? No? Well, you know, they heard I was installed yesterday. It's official. Well, if you had a surprise for somebody, how would you let them know? Would you tell them? Would you show them? Yeah. You give them a hint. Give them clues to find the surprise. That's awesome. So in our gospel lesson today, here's a new word. Something was revealed to us. And that's a fancy way of saying it was shown to us. So let me try this. Did you guys see anything on there?
No?
Oh, man. You guys are so good because you weren't supposed to see anything until I did this. And as we do this, you can see the actual word show up. But you were right. You guys saw it even before I did that, didn't you? You see it? L-O-V-E. Revealed. In that kind of secret way. Well, God does something special with Jesus' baptism. He reveals. He shows us that Jesus is his Son and that he loves him no matter what, because he says, "With him I am well pleased," and he is the Beloved. He is the one that he loves. So, do you guys remember when I was taking the water and splashing people? Right? I got your glasses. I bet I got a couple of people's glasses. When we are baptized, when we're little babies, we are baptized and we are welcomed and we are revealed to everybody as part of God's family, right? We are shown that God loves us no matter what. God's grace comes to us no matter what, that we are forgiven no matter what, right? So we are thankful for that. So let us pray, okay? Good and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, and we thank you for showing him to us and for showing us that we are loved all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. You can return to your seats. Thank you all very much. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this day. This is my child, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. I don't know about you, but it's something I long to hear, right? One of my very first jobs, my dad was caretaker of our church cemetery in Fort Wayne, and from as early as I remember, well, maybe not that far back, but it was fun to go out with him because the cemetery had these hills. So one section, of course, they all had roads around them, and we had different names for the sections. And one was the hill, one was the mountain, just because it was bigger. But to get back to those was, a course, a paved road. And we used to take our big wheels out there when we were young kids, and Dad would be out mowing in the section, and we would just take our big wheels and run down the hills and stuff. Well, when we got older, Dad would ask, well, you know, the church is willing to pay you a little bit if you want to use these hand trimmers and go around the tombstones. And we're like, money that we get? Really? 75 cents an hour out there with hand trimmers, probably, you know, 10, 11 years old, whatever. But I do remember once we got into our 12s, all of us kids, my two sisters and brother, we were able to actually then use the push mowers to go around the tombstones. And then when we got a little bit older, we would actually ride the Cub Cadet, which, you know, went in between the tombstones, at least down the rows. And then when we got closer to our driving age, we were able to ride the big tractors out in the field, right? And that was like an incredible, just, I mean, I saw my brother doing it because he was bigger and he could do that. And I was just like, man, I wish I could do that. So finally the day came. Dad's like, you want to use the International Harvester tractor out there in the field? I'm like, yeah, I want to do that. So these things had a trailer hitch on the back, and it was just a big pipe, basically, that ran behind it. But you could stand on that, and he would be, like, even with my face right behind me. So he, you know, taught me how to drive and turn it on and all this. And then he would stand on the back of that and say, okay, now you see that tree across the field? Just keep your eye locked on that tree and keep your – just go straight towards that tree. Because as you're mowing a big field, you just mow straight in the middle of it and then do another section and come around and just keep on going. Right, just in a circle, and keep, by the time you're done with that, you do it again. Well, after I had my sights just right on that tree, and I knew I was just perfectly straight, and my dad just kept on chuckling and laughing, because the things you don't take into consideration when you're on that big tractor and driving are the imperfections in the field, right? And they kind of throw you off, and your perspective kind of changes. Well, he's laughing so hard at the end of it. I'm like, what are you laughing at? And he goes, well, just turn around and let's look at this line. It was everything but straight. But it was the opportunity that my dad gave me and the privilege that I felt I earned, that he said, I'm going to trust you with this big piece of machinery, and we're going to go through this field. We're going to see how you do. As much as I wanted to do that, it was also very intimidating, because here I am, 12-year-old, on this big piece of equipment, hoping not to mess things up. The nice thing about that crooked line, he said, don't worry about it, because you can correct that on the next way around. You see how it bends out to the left? Well, just stay right a little bit. See, when it goes to the right there, just stay back to the left, and you can correct that as you go. It's kind of intimidating when we get these responsibilities in our lives and we're asked to do things that we haven't quite done in the past. John was all over this. He's like, Jesus, you're coming to baptize me? I need to be baptized by you. This is not my place. But then Jesus says, let it be. I love those three little words. Let it be now to fulfill all righteousness. Can we hear that? Can we hear that when we are baptized and asked to do those intimidating things in our lives? These are the same three little words that we heard Mary say in Luke's narrative about the coming of Christ. She says, I am here, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Sometimes we get this idea that let it be is a kind of a static phrase, and it's not. In this invitation, it is, let's jump into this action and see what God will do through it. Most of the time we say, let it be, and that does mean just get away from that. Don't get in there. But when Jesus uses it here, and when it's used in other parts of Scripture, it's all about God inviting us into something that we can explore that's within the Spirit of God. What does that mean? It means God's going to use us in a special way. In a way that our actions, as we let this happen through the power of God, using us in our actions, we will be healed and or blessed. One of the things we did through seminary, you have any good feelings about CPE? Right? So as we are growing up, we were put in as chaplains into a different scenario. Some hospitals, mostly hospitals, but sometimes other places. And we have this pastoral experience of CPE. And one of the things we do is to visit with people who are going through life-changing events. And sometimes they are good events, sometimes they're not so good events. And it's very intimidating. But the action of being with somebody in these life-changing events is one of the most powerful spiritual movements I've ever felt from God. It's incredible. Not that we're there to fix things, because we can't. Not there because we want to stop them from happening. We can't. But the action is actually truly being with that person. Being with them. To hear them as they go through whatever life-changing experience they're going through. And to let them know that they're not alone. And that God loves them. And that God is continually with them. So as we let it be, God lets action happen. And this action, most of the time, if not all the time, is claiming you. When Jesus said, let it be now, so that all righteousness will be fulfilled, it is proper for us in this way. We hear this several times within Scripture. Well, probably several is a stretch, but a lot of times. And all it has to do, as these words are spoken, is some type of healing or blessing. So we just heard it at Jesus' baptism. We hear it again in Matthew 8, where he heals the centurion's servant. And Jesus said, let it be done for you according to your faith. And the servant was healed in that hour. In Matthew 9, he heals two blind men. He touches their eyes and says, according to your faith, let it be done for you. And again in Matthew 15, he heals the Canaanite woman's daughter. Then Jesus answered her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. As we think about our baptism and the action of that happening, because really we only see the water going poured over our heads, but if you put like spiritual glasses on at that point and looked up into the heavens, you would see the angels dancing and celebrating and welcoming each and every one of you into the opportunity to have a life blessed by God, as we all do. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that, and that's why... I don't know if you felt like I went easy on you with the water, but I felt I was going easy on you with the water, because I would like to have a fire hose out here to tell you this is the action God is calling you into each and every day. You are loved with God. He is well pleased with you. God is well pleased with you. You belong to God, and you are the beloved. So what can be healed today? And maybe it's not a healing, but rather a calling of participating in the Spirit's movement. If you hear these words, so I'm going to ask you for a moment to close your eyes. I know it's always dangerous for a pastor to say, close your eyes during the sermon. But if you're not already closed, close your eyes. And hear these words, the words that God says, you are my child, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And as the words of your inner critic rise up and say, but I'm not worthy, push them back down and hear them again. God says, you are my child, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And as excuses come up again to say, but I did all this other stuff wrong, push them back down. Tell them to be gone, because you can hear these words say to you from God, you are my child, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Allow those words to affect your actions. You can open your eyes now, thanks. Allow those words to impact your actions each and every day by remembering your baptism. Amen.